Today we celebrate the Solemnity of All Saints, which, you know, if things go according to God's plan, and unless you're particularly holy and particularly lucky to become a canonized saint with your own feast day, this will probably be your feast day someday. Did you know that? Because everyone in heaven is a saint. And you got to be one before you get there, actually, to tell you the truth. There are only saints in heaven. And so I want to reflect with us a little bit today what it really means to be a saint. And I think it's important that it is. It's to be a saint. That's what we're called to be. God made us to be saints. Everybody in heaven's name begins with S. All right? We're all meant to be saints. That's what it means. Like, we go according to God's plan. That's what's going to happen. You will be a saint. And so what does it mean, you know, to be a saint? Well, last Sunday, you know, we had Jesus gave us that summary of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. Well, if you love God with all your might, heart and mind and soul, you're a saint. It's much more of a state of being than a destination. Going to heaven is not a destination. Going to heaven means being a saint, being entirely in love with God and with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And that's what we see in our readings today. They talk a very great deal about who we are to be, not so much what we do. Now, what we do will follow from who we are. But it's much more important to focus on who we are. If you in the gospel today, in the Beatitudes are not really, it's not a to-do list, is it? It's much more describes of how you're supposed to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the clean of heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And blessed are you when you're insulted and persecuted because of me. Those are all about who we are. And so that's what we need to look at. Who am I? And our second reading gives us the clearest direction on that, and in a sense, the most wonderful understanding of that. Back when I was doing campus ministry, we had this wonderful retreat program that we did, and there would be a couple of student leaders, and they would choose one verse of scripture to be sort of the overarching, you know, theme for that particular retreat. And one time, at one of those, and I'll never forget this one to tell you the truth, the first verse of our second reading today was chosen as the theme for the retreat. And especially focusing in on just one part of that verse, the very end of that first verse. Because that's what was on the t-shirt. And it's legit if it's on the t-shirt, right? At least in campus ministry, that's the most important. What's on the t-shirt is what counts. And on this t-shirt, even the design of it, I thought was really very evocative, kind of made you think a little bit. It showed the face of a child looking up, much on a night like last night, lots of stars up in the sky. And it looked like the stars in some sense were sort of coming down or shining down on this child's upturned face. And the words were the last words of the first verse of the second reading today. And so we are. And so we are. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. And so we are. That sort of sense of wonder in that expression. And so we are. How is it possible that we are children of God? Well, it's possible through the waters of baptism. When God the Father adopted you, through those waters flowing from the pierced heart of Christ on the cross, adopted you as his child and a member of his family, and thereby making you brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. To be at home in the home of the Father. And maybe, I hope, that's why we don't really quite feel at home here. Or maybe you're sort of homesick here. Because this isn't our home. It's nice to visit, but it's always good to go home, right? And we're on our way home. And when we're home, we'll be the saints we were made to be. When we love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, actually, even now, we experience that being with God. We can experience that even now. As a foretaste of eternity with him. And so when you want to be a saint, remember who you are. That you may be called a child of God by the love of God. And so you are. And so then live like a child of God. Remember, we see how doing flows from being. If you remember that you are a child of God, you'll live like a child of God. And that will make you worthy of heaven, which is your home. This is a very exalted and even wonderful and mysterious view of what it means to be a human being. Never forget that when you deal with another human being, you're always dealing essentially with a mystery. Never think, oh, I know all about that person or whatever, you know. No, you don't. Only God does. We don't even know ourselves. And that's what this verse reflects for us, this wonder and awe and mystery of what God has done for us in giving us this identity. Beloved. That's a word St. John loves. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, and so we are. And you know, this is a very different understanding of what it means to be authentically human from the point of view of the world. In the world, we're always having to earn or prove ourselves somehow, right? We have to measure up in some way, or people write us off. That is not the way it is with God. This weekend, on Friday night, I was talking to a family. They have a son who's in the 9th grade. And he was telling me about something that happened in one of his classes. He said he was in school and his teacher, they were talking about a very interesting topic, a very important topic of, you know, preserving the environment and this sort of thing. And this teacher said, do you know what the most effective thing that anyone can do in order to help conserve and preserve the environment? And they were offering all kinds of ideas and things, and the teacher kept saying, no, 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 no. And finally the teacher said, it's to have one fewer child. I said, you're mighty glad that I was not in that class, to tell you the truth. I'd want to ask that teacher, well, would that one child in your family maybe be you? I mean, yeah, so it's good I wasn't in that class, anyhow. So. But do you see how that's a totally utilitarian view of a human being, having to earn who you are? And God won't have anything to do with that. You are his children. And God wants his house to be full. You know, I told you before, in heaven there's no coronavirus. We can have big crowds in heaven. And God wants it full of all of his children. He wants all of his children there to be with him, to love them forever. And for them to enjoy him and love him forever. And that's what it means to be a saint. And that's what you were made for. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. And so we are.